760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. I hope you're having a wonderful morning, and maybe you missed some of that snow, or maybe you don't.
I do.
Do you?
I do.
It was just melting like hotcakes outside of my place. I couldn't believe how fast it disappeared and how fast it came.
Yeah. Well, it's from somebody who grew up in Michigan, we would get snow every winter, and it's really nice when it's when you've got snow and you can play in it and everything, but usually by about this time, because a lot of times the snow would fall like maybe mid-December, and you'd have snow on the ground the whole, but about this time of year, I'm like, okay, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
It could go away now.
Yeah. Well, you had to deal with the real stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we were, you know, a couple inches, we're paralyzed, but still, I mean, you guys were probably having feet?
Sometimes, yeah.
How do you say it? Feet? Foots?
Yeah.
So many feet.
Like a typical snowstorm might be like 4, 6, maybe 8 inches.
Okay.
Well, there are salt trucks. You put chains on your tires. Yeah. I mean, it's completely different from it went from here.
Very much so.
Well, Allison, I believe you have a special prayer for us this morning.
I always do. Okay, let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, come and guide us throughout this day. Illuminate our minds with your wisdom, fill our hearts with your peace, and strengthen our spirit to walk in your truth. Help us to discern your will in every decision we make and to act with love and patience towards others. Surround us with your presence and lead us to fulfill the purpose you have set for us today. We trust in your direction and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit. Well, that's, yeah, I kind of miss. I wish we just had like one of those snows a month. You know? Couldn't we just get it on like, you know, get like a subscription model to the snowstorm or something? I mean, it was just so, I went to Mass, I go in there, I pray, I go to Mass, I walk out, Atlanta is like a winter wonderland.
And it's beautiful too, because in the morning I went out and just listening to the snowfall, it is beautiful, but it kind of brought back memories, because being from upstate New York, when my grandparents passed away, they all died in the Christmas time, you know, in the winter. And so it's interesting how memories come back. You know, the snow, it's so beautiful falling, but I just remember that same sound being, you know, up north for funerals.
Well, because the snow on the ground absorbs the sound, so it's
amazing.
Like walking into a studio where you record, you know, you got the treatments on the wall and everything. It's very silent.
No, it's absolutely beautiful. And when everything was melting, all the ice on the trees after Mass on Sunday, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like we're in the movie Frozen. And Elsa came by.
Don't sing the song, please.
Yeah, oh, please let me sing it, please.
I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's obviously a very impressive composition, but I don't think I ever got on the Let It Go train.
Well, John,
like all these kids are singing Let It Go, and I'm just like, dude, I don't get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not,
Josh.
I mean, they're obviously prolific composers, but it's just not my cup of tea.
You let it go before you ever got it.
Yeah.
Well, that just surprises me, Josh. Single guy, no kids. There's no reason for you to get into Let It Go.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd be a little worried if you were.
I know. If you were, I would be like, let me take your temperature.
That's hilarious. Oh, boy. What do we have on the show today?
We've got a lot of great guests today. Well, we have Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan the Navigator. He is going to be reflecting on today's gospel with us today. Chuck is going to be back, and he's going to be talking about St. Joseph of Cupertino, another saint that I really wasn't aware of. Always learn so much from Chuck when he comes in to share that wisdom with us. Jennifer Thomas, parishioner at Prince Our Peace and Flowery Branch, is coming back, and she is a co-host of Morning Glory Podcast, and she's going to be talking about the Morning Glory podcast.
M-O-U-R-N.
Yes,
I-N-G.
Not M-O-R-N. It's
dealing
morning.
With grief.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing, because we all deal with grief at some time in our life. And then coming up next, we have Father Siloway, pastor at the wonderful parish of All Saints in Dunwoody, and he's going to be talking to us today about theology of the body and human trafficking. So great show coming up.
Great. A lot of wise, amazing people on today. By the way, I think you might have Do you have a memory verse for us later in the
Absolutely
show?
Absolutely. So hold on to your seats.
I think the Quest inbox got flooded with complaints after my
long one that brought me anxiety.
Memory verse last week. I guess they thought it was like a memory paragraph, and a lot of people. Well, here's the thing. It was hard for me to memorize, but I was going and doing like holy hours and dedicating major chunks of time to knocking this thing out. And so I don't think, unless people were really like rolling up their sleeves, it was a pretty tough one to, you know.
It wasn't bringing me joy. You know, if I was looking at scripture
doesn't bring you joy.
Time out. No, it brought me joy listening to it, but having to be on the spot and have it memorized, it kind of brought a little bit of anxiety to me. You're staring at me going, pop quiz. I love the word of God. Praise God, it's living.
Yes, keep it simple, scripture.
There you go.
So I've got a great one coming up.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we are so happy to have Father Michael here with us from All Saints in Dunwoody, and he's going to be talking about theology of the body and human trafficking. So welcome back, Father.
Hey, it is great to be back with y'all on The Quest. It's a great honor.
Well, it's such a gift to have you on with us, especially with all the insight you shine on theology of the body, the dignity of the human person. So this really parallels so perfectly with this topic. As you know, Father, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So I'd just love to start with, what is human trafficking?
Yeah, well, human trafficking is a broad term, but it's probably something most of us have heard of. We've probably heard it talked about, particularly in an election year when it's a very hot topic. Maybe at your church you've heard something about it, but maybe people don't really know what the full breadth of the situation is. And I think to put it kind of simply, it's modern-day slavery. Mm-hmm. It's a form of modern-day slavery. And to get technical about it, the definition would be something along the lines of the unlawful act of transporting or coercing people in order to benefit from their work or service, usually in the form of forced labor or sexual exploitation. Mm-hmm. It's heinous, like absolutely a heinous reality that we're facing in our world today. And I'd have to argue that, like, after like the great tragedy and of the slaughter of the innocents through abortion, it's really the greatest evil of our time that we're facing. Human trafficking.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, our Catholic faith obviously stands completely opposed to this atrocity. How does St. Pope John Paul II teach, how his teachings apply, or what can it tell us about this grave evil, Father?
Yeah, well, the theology of the body has everything to do with human trafficking as a response and as kind of a theological, philosophical underpinning to why it is so gravely disordered and evil. When you have people being trafficked, either coerced, tricked into working in conditions that are subhuman and terrible, being forced into slave labor, or particularly the great and evil scandal of this exploitation of particularly women and children through sexual exploitation, the theology of the body has a profound response. Maybe you've heard of, even before John Paul II wrote the theology of the body, he wrote a book called Love and Responsibility.
Yes.
And in one of the very first chapters of this book, he outlines kind of a foundational principle. He calls it the personalistic norm. And it's going to be like a foundational principle upon which everything else the theology of the body is going to spring from comes from this one reality. And the personalistic norm is a rule, as it were. It's a guideline. And it states this, that the human person is the kind of being toward which the only adequate and appropriate response is love. Let me say that again. The human person is the kind of being toward which the only adequate response is love. Mm. The reason for that being that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God, an infinite dignity because of that created reality. And it goes back to the heart of, you know, a lot of debate when people say, well, where do our human rights come from? Are they given to us by the government? Are they given to us by society or democratic vote? No. Mm-hmm. We have human rights. They're intrinsic to us. They belong to us by our very nature because we're created in the image and likeness of God, because of the kind of being we are. And so therefore, the only adequate response to another human person is love. And this is where things get really fascinating as it pertains to human trafficking. Because John Paul II would say that the opposite of love is not, as the world might say today, is hatred. Hatred obviously has no place in love. Mm-hmm. But the opposite of love is use.
Yeah.
Because if to love another person is to will their good, to treat them as an end in themselves, then the opposite of that would be to turn them into a means toward an end. And this is exactly what human trafficking does. It says we can exploit you, we can use you for some benefit to us, to gain profit for our business with cheap forced slave labor or for sexual exploitation. So what the norm says is we must never do in our encounters with another person is use them, but really the only adequate response is to love them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just so insightful. And praise God for these amazing teachings that spotlight the dignity of the human person. And I guess another way of saying this is a person must never be used as a means to an end, but respected as an end in themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it's always and everywhere a grave evil to use another human person, be it for their exploitation of their work or for their sexual value. And this really is a profound springboard into the rest of all the church's social teaching as well. But this is such an important kernel in the theology of the body, this understanding of the human person, the infinite and intrinsic dignity that belongs to them because they are created by God and in his image.
Amen.
Now, Father, All Saints is about to host a human trafficking awareness event soon, correct?
That's right. We're very blessed here. We've got two parishioners that are very, very closely united to working toward ending and eradicating this great evil. One of them is the state of Georgia's own Attorney General, Mr. Chris Carr.
Wow.
And he will be he's used his time in political office in profound ways to fight against human trafficking, because you may not be aware, Atlanta is a massive hub for human trafficking, people coming in from Southeast Asia in particular being trafficked through to other parts of the United States for the exploitation. So he's been doing a lot on the political front to try to end this atrocity. But then we've also got a woman named Laura Trent, one of our great parishioners, and she's the survivor support manager at an organization here in Atlanta called Safe House Project. They take in women who've been sex trafficked and bring them healing, bring them protection, and help them get back on their feet and protected from the evils that have been assailing them. So that event is going to be this coming Sunday, actually. So we have our 5 p.m. Mass, but then at 6:15 in our social hall, we're going to have this awesome presentation by these two incredible souls dedicated to fighting this great evil.
That's wonderful, Father. So who do you think should attend? I mean, youth, or is it just for adults? What would you think if people want to come?
Well, it is obviously a very heavy topic. Mm-hmm. It deals with grave evil and very kind of mature themes. So perhaps children outside of high school, younger than high school, would probably not be suited for them. But high school students and above, absolutely. Because the more that we can educate and become aware of what's actually happening, how people are being coerced, how this thing works, and how we are to respond as Catholics, not only intellectually, but concretely to bring help and healing to these people, the better. So I'd say anybody over high school age, it would be perfect for them.
Well, that's wonderful. And you know what, Father, what comes to mind whenever I'm at my kids' soccer games or baseball games, or even when you go to a restaurant, you look on the back of the doors and there's that sign saying, you know, if you are here, not at your will, or talking about human trafficking. So yeah, this is a huge problem that everybody needs to be aware of. It's happening more around us than we even know.
Yeah, it impacts millions of people, and it's multi-billion-dollar industry right now. And it's so tragic that right here in our own backyard, like, so many of these people are being funneled into this exploitation. But we can really turn to the intercession, I would say, of the patroness of those who have been victims of slavery or human trafficking, and Saint Josephine Bakita. And if our listeners don't know who she is, I'd highly encourage you to look up her story. She herself had been a victim of slavery, great, profound abuse, until she found consolation through a good and loving Christian family. Mm-hmm. And then she came to the faith herself, joined a religious order, and Pope Benedict wrote about her, Pope Benedict XVI, in his encyclical Spe Salvi, about how she is an icon and a beacon of hope for those who are in hopeless situations.
Praise God.
Well, Father, thank you so much. Would you mind closing us with a quick prayer for those who have been impacted by this atrocity?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A good and loving God, our Heavenly Father, through the intercession of Saint Josephine, we ask you to rain down the grace of your blessing upon all who have been impacted by human trafficking. We pray for those whose dignity is affronted, attempted to be stolen from them, We pray for the conversion of hearts of those who treat other human beings as a means to an end and exploit them, abuse them, and hurt them. We pray that you protect our world, lead us into deeper conversion and profound respect for each and every human life, all the way from conception and natural death. We make our prayer in the most holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
St. Josephine Bakita, pray for us.
Thank you so much, Father.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're so welcome.
Amen. We're so grateful for you.
Likewise.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
It's 8:18.
Father Scott Riley from St. Brendan, the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, is back to reflect on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you so much, and I hope your new year is going well.
Yes, so far so good.
Nice. Well, let's crack open the Word and continue in this beautiful new year, 2025. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How cool is that?
That is.
That's a cool little party trick.
Can you imagine? I mean, experiencing some demoniac in the crowd. But what caught my attention, though, at the beginning is how the people, first of all, were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Mm-hmm. So the authority with which Jesus taught was born out of his conviction, out of who he is. And we all know when someone is just offering platitudes or someone that's just saying the company slogan, repeating it, but it's not lived from the core, and that's what moved them. He taught them from who he was. His core being was transmitted, was conveyed in his teaching. And that's a lesson for all of us. We are, well, you hear a lot about churches closing, people aren't showing up. Oh, you know, the bottom line, you know, we're going to have to do this. What program can we get going here and there and whatever? And really, it's not a question of programs. Just simply ushering people into programs is not going to build the church. The church is built one person at a time, when their hearts are changed by the gospel.
Amen.
And that's conviction. And then when one is able to transmit, "Hey, I'd like to tell you about my experience with Christ."
Yes.
"Oh, I'd love to hear that." I mean, you all experienced in your lives, haven't you? You know, the...
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The power of someone who is convicted in the truth of their witness with Christ.
Oh, yeah, their conversion, you know, their conversion stories, whether they were Catholic to begin with, or they weren't, or they just had a reversion. No, it's amazing how much life that brings to you when you hear those stories.
Yeah.
Right.
And love is the loudest testimony. I mean, that is, it's like that phrase, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one." And I'm certainly not against preaching the gospel or being bold, but at the same time, to your point, a radically transformed life is, I think, the most appealing invitation.
You know, and that's as well part of the great jubilee that we're having this, you know, 2025, which we've already started, and Pope Francis emphasizing that we live really the Beatitudes, that the Beatitudes, the corporal works of mercy as well, of showing how we live the gospel. That's the great jubilee, when you can live giving food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, etc. You know, that's really coming from conviction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is so interesting, too. It's in some instances in Scripture, Jesus is saying, hey, don't tell anybody. And then at some moments, he is just setting off fireworks and is a total showstopper. And nobody, I mean, the crowd is just stunned, right? And this is one of those examples. I mean, the unclean spirit convulses and with a loud cry comes out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this spirit, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. And he was going to keep going. Because his, the demons wanted Jesus' mission to thwart that and knock it off its path. And Jesus was very guarded, especially this, because it would have been a political takeover of what his mission was all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of getting back there as well to the point here is, what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And if you go deeper into that, who is the devil? Jesus said, he is the father of lies.
Mm.
Jesus has nothing to do with demons because they are the antithesis to who he is, the way, the truth,
and
the life. There is no dialogue with demons, and often, we should not have dialogue with temptation. And to be thinking as well, God's just going to forgive me, and that's presumption. It's God will forgive us. Will our hearts be there to ask for forgiveness
after it's done? Yeah.
You know, Pope Francis, actually, he said, I forget when it was one of these documents, God never tires of forgiving.
Hmm.
We get tired of asking for forgiveness.
Oh, nice quote.
Yeah. And we get tired because many ways, well, it could be a lie that one's embracing. How could God forgive me?
Yeah.
Or, but as well, you know, I kind of like my sin and I don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I just don't want to change.
Yeah.
God respects our decisions.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, the important point, too, that you brought up is sin can, in many instances, feel like a pacifier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safety blanket. Oh, you know, it's nice to be on a bike with training wheels, but hey, you're going to tread a lot more distance or traverse a lot more distance if those wheels are off, right? And they're actually not keeping you safe in that instance. So maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but I'm saying it's more of a hindrance to maximizing one's potential.
Well, yes. Yes, obviously, you know, it's walking in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
God will allow it. He will allow us to walk away from him because then we can realize from our hearts, from freedom, that sin is empty. It's not of God, and it just brings destruction. It brings unhappiness. It brings meaninglessness.
Mm-hmm.
But God allows that so that we discover that freely. However, as well, it's not like God, all right, you know, all right, just go. He's on the way helping us. And even Saint Therese of the Little Flower, she said beautifully in her biography, Story of a Soul, that, you know, she was kind of lamenting that she didn't have this major conversion like Saint Paul. But she then realized, well, God loved me so much in such a special way that he removed on my path those stones upon which I would have tripped. It was a preemptive. His love is so tender for me.
Yeah.
That's how she saw it. You know, so everyone's got their unique path, and God has that unique relationship with each one.
That's beautiful. So, Father, what's a good takeaway for today's gospel?
Takeaway, I think, for today is really to live the truth with joy, not as this weight. To live the truth with joy and freedom. I want to do it versus, I don't know, like, oh, I got to go to Mass. Oh, man. Oh, geez, I got to go. And the Falcons are playing or dogs are playing at just right at time. And I was like, I'm going to miss my tailgate. No, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a small example.
But amen.
A big sacrifice, though, I know, for many.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, LC from St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia. We are truly grateful.
God bless you. Great to be here.
It's 8:27. I'm Allison DeLuel. In the Catholic Loop, Pope Francis expressed his spiritual closeness to the victims of the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles, offering prayers for those affected. The Pope conveyed heartfelt condolences to the grieving families and assured communities of his prayers. He entrusted the souls of the deceased to God's mercy and extended support for ongoing relief efforts. The fires, which have killed at least 24 people and destroyed thousands of acres, have also forced the closure of 90 Catholic schools and a burned church. The Italian naval ship Amerigo Vespucci, named after the 15th century explorer, has been designated as a Jubilee Church for 2025 by Archbishop Santo Marciano of the Military Ordinate of Italy. The ship, which has been touring the world as a cultural ambassador since July 2023, will serve as a site for the sacred pilgrimages and pious visits during the Jubilee of Hope. Even though it doesn't have a designated chapel, Mass can be celebrated on the ship's quarterdeck or inside the atrium. The ship's captain, Don Mauro Meglani, will guide sailors in their spiritual journey throughout the Jubilee year. You can see the entire article at CatholicNewsAgency.com.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:32.
Chuck Persner talking to us about another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck. Who do we got?
Well, before we get into our saint, I wanted to remind you both, because I know you know this, that January 14th is International Kite Day.
Ooh.
Oh, thanks.
All right. I did not know that, so there you go.
Get
those kites out there. And this originated in India, where it is observed in the city of Ahmedabad in the northern state of Gujarat. It's a relatively new celebration, started in the year 1989. It begins every year on January 14th. It extends through the 15th. In fact, Gujarat has declared the date a public holiday. Kite makers start preparing for the festival months in advance, Josh. There's vendors. Simple kites are made with lightweight, colorful paper and bamboo frames. Those are the most frequent. Aside from traditional kites, several Bollywood celebrities and social themes are represented through these kites.
Interesting.
Interesting stuff, Chuck.
Oh, it gets even better. You ready for this? I love this.
Okay, I'm ready.
So kite lines are frequently coated with a mixture of rice and crushed glass to aid in kite fighting. Okay. This is a game when the kite flyers try to cut one another's strings and knock down their kites during the festival.
I've seen a movie with this happening.
And we thought the saints had tough lives. Trying to keep that kite in the air in India is not an easy thing.
No, it's not.
So it got me to wondering, though, if there was a patron saint of kite flyers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sadly. The job is still open, Josh.
You know, okay.
You still have time? Allison?
You never know. I have no time.
But we did, however, over the course of time, have a number of saints in our church history who have been known to levitate.
Ah.
So thinking that that was the closest thing to actually flying a kite.
Well, maybe that would make you a good candidate to be a kite.
It would.
Patron saint.
It would, yeah.
Kites, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, St. Martin de Porres comes to mind. I know EWTN runs a movie on his life right around his feast day every year. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio is said to have had this charism. But it's St. Joseph of Cupertino who's perhaps most synonymous with this very unique and rare ability to levitate during times of deep and profound prayer and ecstasy. So he was born in the year 1603, was an Italian Catholic friar and mystic, born in Naples, in fact. He's best known for his levitations, as I said, and the ecstasies. His feast day we celebrate on September 18th, but I thought we could talk about him a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
He's become more and more popular in recent years. You know,
I've heard his name.
We're talking about that before we came on.
Yeah. Patron saint of test takers, right?
He is, in addition. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you look at some of our children today, they deal with such anxiety, particularly as it relates to school. So for our students who are listening on your way to school today, call upon his intercession. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. It ties back to the fact that he was a gifted but uneducated child, by all accounts, not a terribly good student in his own right. And I think that's where he gains this patronage. But he did become interested in the religious life at a very young age. His parents were opposed to it, but he did enter the conventual Franciscan friars in the year 1620 as a young boy. Throughout his life, he experienced many ecstasies and levitations during prayer, and he was said to have been so absorbed in prayer that he would, in fact, levitate, float, or even fly. He's known by some as the flying saint.
Wow.
And sometimes these ecstasies were so overwhelming that he would even lose consciousness. You know, it was witnessed by many, and they just considered it a sign of his holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, skepticism did arise as a result of these stories that would rapidly spread. But so did his reputation for holiness. And many came to him for spiritual guidance and healing. He was able to perform many miracles as a result of his holiness.
Wow.
You know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much, right? When you have someone who is so profoundly rooted in prayer, who's able to push away all those distractions that so many of us struggle with, we see it bears much fruit. And he healed the sick. He brought rain during a drought. Yeah, in 1657, Pope Alexander VII authorized an investigation into some of these miracles. They were deemed to be true. And then the Pope declared him a saint. Ultimately, he was canonized by Pope Clement X in the year 1671.
Nice.
There you have it.
And I looked into some of this stuff because, you know, you hear these kinds of claims of someone flying or bilocating, and it's like, okay, let's see some hard evidence. But there are a lot of testimonies to this. First testimony I have here is from the Bishop of Nardo, witnessed during Mass, in which he reportedly saw Joseph lifted into the air in a state of ecstatic prayer. The bishop, initially skeptical of such phenomenon, later testified that Joseph rose several feet off the ground and hovered before descending gently. Another testimony, Pope Urban VIII's nephews. Another one, while visiting Rome, Joseph was presented before Pope Urban VIII in the presence of the Pope's nephews and other papal officials. Joseph was reported to have entered a state of ecstasy and levitated several feet into the air. The event astonished those present, and the Pope himself remarked, "If Brother Joseph dives during my pontificate, I will bear witness to these marvels."
Wow.
Right.
Another testimony, Father Domenico Bernini. Testimony 4, an ambassador of Spain. Testimony 5, multiple monks at the convent of Grotella. Testimony 6, Duchess of Sassonia. Reportedly saw Joseph in ecstasy during a visit to Assisi. According to her account, he was lifted several feet in the air and remained motionless, seemingly oblivious to those around him.
With God, all things are possible.
Really? Yeah, you know? And those are very reliable sources who corroborate this. You know, we're talking about some of the holiest men of the church over time, and there were just so many people who swear to having witnessed this.
Oh, yeah. He's also the patron saint of air travelers, pilots, aviators, of course, because we know his levitation. And he's also the patron saint of astronauts, mental handicaps, test-taking, like you said earlier, Josh, and students. So wonderful, wonderful saint to call an intercession for.
Yeah, interesting life. Proof that book smarts aren't everything.
Amen to that.
And that test taking, some are better than others. The fact is, we should call upon him as a saint, as I mentioned earlier, to seek intercession. He'll be there for you. That's what the saints do. They tirelessly intercede for us.
Well, when he was a kid, I mean, he had this inclination to prayer and religious devotion, but he struggled with academics, right? And he looked unsuitable for a formal education or religious life. He was rejected by the Capuchins for being unskilled and clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was eventually accepted as a lay brother to the conventual Franciscans in 620. He was assigned menial tasks, you know, tending to animals, but his humility impressed his superiors, and despite the poor academic skills, he miraculously passed the required exams, which are attributed to a divine intervention, and he was ordained a priest in 1628.
Yeah. You know, Shades of St. Andre Bessette, who we talked about just a few days ago, a man who served as the doorkeeper at the College of Notre Dame in Quebec. There's a task for everyone.
Yes.
And the task you're assigned isn't really so much as important as how you carry it out with holiness. And, you know, as you said, Josh, he was described as a nervous kid, someone who was easily distracted or preoccupied. But through patience and just through the people not giving up on him, we come to find that he was a virtuous and holy guy.
Mm-hmm. We need
to want to do great things. There's
we need to take that to heart
though.
And do the same in our lives of those around us. A good quote from him: "Pray to God, you are the spirit, and I am only the trumpet. And without your breath, I can give no sound."
Yes, cooperation with God's grace. That's a great quote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, again, we see humility wins the day with the saints, and God calls the meek to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an intense love for the Holy Eucharist. His ecstasies often occurred during Mass or adoration. Really, I love the message. He just really emphasized the childlike trust in God and encouraged others to embrace simplicity and humility in their spiritual lives. So,
yep. it's the power of daily Mass. I'm sure some of our listeners who are listening right now are on their way to the 9 a.m. Mass, and it's just a reminder that when you're nourished by divine flesh, great things can happen.
Amen. Or even being in front of the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely. St. Joseph of Cupertino,
pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Sometimes.
It's 8:41, and Allison, you are going to bless us with your memory verse this week. Now, maybe Dave will give us one next week. We'll have a democracy. We'll democratize the memory verse.
I thought you were going to say a competition.
No competition. It's all for the glory of God.
Right.
No. Okay. So, memory verse for this week. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love this verse, no matter what you're going through.
And he's talking about money.
Come on, Josh.
And fame.
No.
Yeah.
Right?
No, Josh. It might come. I mean, those are not bad things if they, you know, if they're used properly.
You know, it's interesting that, this wasn't an immediate resolution, right? So this is a letter Jeremiah wrote to the exiled Israelites in Babylon, and it wasn't an immediate fix. It was a lot. It took 70 years, right? And it was 70 years in the making. It just shows that, hey, like, God's plans might not be immediate, but they're always better.
Amen. And they're always on time. We just have to be patient and trust. So, yeah, that is going to be our scripture verse of the week. So we will work on the memorization.
What is it again?
Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope.
And you could look in the long-term scheme of things and realize this is a foreshadowing of Christ, but also the Hebrew word shalom refers to peace, completeness, and welfare. And so we, so it's not just like plans, physical prosperity. It's, I mean, this is an interior transformation.
Amen. Like right now, even.
God's always giving us. And speaking of transformation, I was thinking about something recently is, I think Amazon should be illegal on our phones.
Why do you say that?
We go from scripture to Amazon.
Because there's absolutely, I was thinking about this the other day, there's no buffer between the impulse and the purchase.
It's
you know,
true.
Like it'll be New Year's. I'm like, you know, I should join a gym. And then I'm like, a total gym. Swipe. And now my living room looks like an infomercial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back in the day, and Dave, you would know this, Allison too.
Yes.
Buying something was a discernment process, right?
Absolutely.
You'd talk to your wife, you'd say, sweetie, I'm thinking about buying an adjustable basketball goal with ankle weight so I can dunk in my men's league. And she'd say, Josh, you are 39 years old and you get winded when you go up the stairs. The only thing you're dunking is an Oreo, case closed, but now there's no security guard between my dumb and my thumb, right?
I mean, it's way too easy to buy things. And we were talking before the show, before we came on here. Yeah, I used to be working in malls at Macy's stores and Dillard's and Bloomingdale's. People would actually go and buy things there. So it's completely different now. Yeah, impulse. Totally.
It is a different world. So this is my best advice I can say is sleep on it. Okay, if you are up late at night and you think, I gotta buy this one thing, just take it to bed. Like, just go to bed, sleep on it. I promise you, essential oils are not that essential.
Okay? Right. Oh, Josh.
And if you ever go to those, like at a store, sometimes it'll be an impulse buy. I always tell my wife, put it down, and if you really want it when we're leaving, you can go back and get it.
Oh, that's great.
That's a great idea.
I never thought of, that's brilliant,
and
man.
And like if it's 90, not there, yeah, she never needed
90%
it.
90% of the time, she doesn't go back
there
for it.
She's
like, I didn't need that anyway.
Wow, that's, food for thought, wisdom from Dave.
Thanks,
right here.
Dave.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Jennifer Thomas, co-host of The Morning Glory podcast and parishioner of Prince of Peace in Flowery Branch, Georgia, will be talking to us today about her podcast, where she's a co-host of Morning Glory. So welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again.
We're so glad to have you. And this is a little bit of a different twist on Morning Glory. Can you clarify the spelling with us so we know exactly what you're talking about?
Yes. So Morning Glory, the way we spell it is M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And the reason that my co-host Andrea Baer and I titled it this is because it's a podcast essentially about grief and loss and suffering, but the hope that comes after it. We want to make sure that people understand that, you know, through the mourning, you will come out. When we think of Jesus, when he died on the cross, there was the resurrection. So there was glory that came after the mourning. The whole reason that we started the podcast was because we saw that there was a need. She had lost her mom to brain cancer, and I had lost both of my parents to pancreatic cancer. And through God, through him bringing us together through our writing, through Catholic Mom, through the Catholic Writers Guild, we met, instantly hit it off, and all of a sudden it was like, hey, we're going to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Something that wasn't on either of our radars, but you know, when we looked at it, when I lost both my parents, there was no one else I knew who had lost a loved one, especially their parents, especially like as young as I was. I was 32.
Wow.
And there weren't any resources for me. And I just wanted someone who understood. And she felt the same way. And so we were like, man, we just want people to know that they're not alone in their grief and in their suffering and in their loss. So we ended up putting together like a list of people and topics. And then, of course, God had other plans, because our whole list, when I say that it was completely changed, it really was completely changed. He's brought people to us. Mm-hmm. We do have a scripture verse that is like our, I guess you could say, I don't want to say mantra, but it's our really like foundation. And it's Revelation 21:4. And it is, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away.
Wow. Beautiful.
Wow.
And so that's what we want to bring it back to.
I think about that scripture verse. I think it says, joy comes in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you could spell it the same way that you shared. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes from the morning.
Yes,
you know, M-O-U-R. I mean, it really is the conduit to emotional freedom. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I think about, I lost my father about three-ish months ago. And so much grieving has happened in, you know, adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Even if there is heartache or sadness, it's never in vain, especially when united to Christ. I feel like it's always cathartic. There's always, you know, kind of a spiritual oil change happening, right? Mm-hmm. We, as Catholics, and through, you know, the grace of our faith and the sacraments, we can hope in this St. John Chrysostom quote, you know, those whom we have loved and lost are no longer where they were, but they are wherever we are,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's this hope we have, and that they can be a participant in the communion of saints.
Absolutely. And they are ones who, you know, can intercede for us.
Yeah.
Even if they're in purgatory, they can still intercede for us. We mm-hmm. can still ask them for their intercession. So they're still a part of our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, I mean, I love how you have kind of like these scriptural touchstones that are kind of foundational, right? I think about Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. I'm sure you've had people reach out to you from the podcast and share how it's touched them. Do you have any glory stories you'd like to give us on air?
I love that you just asked if I had any glory stories, because we usually ask our guests at the end of each episode, what is their morning glory?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the biggest thing that's come out of this is hearing from people who have listened, saying that they so appreciate a certain episode, or they appreciate what we're doing because it helps them feel like they're not alone in their grief and in their suffering. And that's the whole purpose of our podcast, is to just, you know, we're putting it out there for whoever needs to hear it. And God's got to make sure that those people who need to hear it when they need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might do an episode. We did one with a gentleman who spoke about suicide. And, you know, that is an extremely taboo topic in the Catholic world. There's a lot of misunderstandings about suicide. And suicide is typically tied to mental illness. You know, and people who die by suicide, it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. And so whenever we had Deacon Ed Schoner on with us, he talked about something that there's so many people in the world know someone who has died by suicide. And even just him wanting to change that terminology, not that they killed themselves, they died by suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, just changing your framework of that. And so by providing this platform for people so that they don't feel alone, so that they know that there's someone out there who has experienced what they've experienced. And one of the primary things that we also focus on is the fact that grief is not the same for everyone. We were fortunate to have been on the Catholic Momcast, I guess it was about a year ago, and were interviewed. And, you know, it just came to me that our grief is as unique as our fingerprints,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which means it's unique to each of us as individuals. And there's no right way to grieve. There's no wrong way to grieve. And also to not have expectations with what grief should look like. I mean, Josh, your dad died 3 months ago. I mean, there's so much that runs through your head, and mm-hmm. there's so many ways that grief and mourning and sorrow present themselves, and we don't grieve the same way, but we can still show up for each other. We can just be there for each other, and God is always going to be there with us.
Amen. And you know, I know we've spoken in the past, Jennifer, about this. I haven't had anybody close to me die, but I'm a divorced mom, you know, who's been mm-hmm. through the NOMAD process, and coming from that experience, there is a death in that too.
Absolutely.
Where you're married, you know, you have a family, and then it is split apart. So
that
not even just death of a body, but actually death of a marriage can cause much grief.
Absolutely. And that's another area that we talk about. We don't just talk about death and mourning in terms of loss of someone who has passed away. We talk about it in other terms as well, like grieving the loss of an experience. We were fortunate to have Brooke Taylor on with us, and she adopted a daughter, Carolina. And when they adopted her, they didn't know that she was special needs. They found out she was special needs. Mm-hmm. So there was a grieving process to all of these hopes that they had for her. Mary Lena Berg, she had a daughter, Courtney, who was born, and they learned she had this terminal illness. They didn't think she would live past a certain age, and she lived well beyond that. I believe she was 22 when she passed away. And in fact, they just recently, back in December, I believe it was the anniversary of her passing. And whenever she had Courtney, she had to let go of all of those expectations she had of, oh, I'm going to have this beautiful little girl and dress her up in bows mm-hmm. and dresses. And, you know, just coming to terms with that and realizing, yeah, there are so many more things that we do grieve. COVID, you know, that was like a huge thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. There
death
were people
of many
who,
things.
Yes, death of many things. And so the goal of the podcast is to just help people know that they're not alone in their grief and their suffering.
That is so beautiful. Now, Jennifer, where can we get more information about the podcast? Where could we go?
So you can head over to our website, www.morninggloryPodcast.com, and that's spelled MOURNING. GLORY podcast. You can send us an email at morninggloryPodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. You can also reach out to me through my website, jenniferjthomas.com, or my co-host, AndreaBearAuthor.com.
Jennifer Thomas, thank you again so much for blessing us with this topic that we all encounter.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what a meaningful interview, what a meaningful guest, what a meaningful show. We've been all over the place today.
I know, but I think that's what's so neat about the show, right?
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to hear and learn.
Yep, we've had some awesome guests. We talked a little bit about some Amazon. Maybe you'll be a little wiser next time you're impulses kick in. You think, I really need that. And we have our memory verse, thanks to Allison.
We sure do. So, yeah, we will work on that memory verse again tomorrow.
And we can know that God is with us, in us, and for us. Any big announcements for today, Allison?
Well, you know what? We have another guest coming up next week talking about human trafficking. Sylvia Dorham from St. John Chrysostom. She's going to be on Monday, you know, diving more into that, the thoughts and all that, what happens in human trafficking. So great information coming up there for us to learn.
Wonderful. Well, we love you. We'll miss you. And in the meantime, glory be to the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.